Welcome to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Paris from DogTipper.com, who is a travel expert with great ideas and advice about getting out of the house with your dogs, whether it's around the block or around the world. Call us with questions about taking your dog in the car, going to a hotel or someone else's house, or just for a walk. Our number is 627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here because we believe in them and use them ourselves. Please show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's also a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Tonight is Four-Legged Life with Arden Moore. At 7 p.m. East, 4 West. Go to RadioPetLady.com to see the whole schedule. Dog Travel Experts is a production of 8 Paws LLC and LT Media Group LLC, which are solely responsible for its content. Our number again is 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. I am here with a terrible echo, as seems to happen so often these days. Here on Radio Pet Lady Network, it's horrible to hear yourself twice, isn't it, Paris?
It is. It is.
And then, of course, in your case, you can't quite hear yourself at all. So we're just surmounting the technical challenges that the universe is putting in front of us, so that we can help you with your challenges traveling with your dogs. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, Paris, and now I have a horrible echo again. So Doug will perhaps. Yep. Okay then. Yikey crikey. Breathe
deeply. That's kind of like travel itself. You know, travel's never perfect. You just got to roll with it, right?
Well said. Well said. I was thinking how different travel is for people with big dogs versus little dogs. It's like two different creatures you're traveling with. One is very large and uses up most of your car, or a giant crate in the belly of a plane, and has to be walked, and most hotels won't take it. And a little dog is just hidden, as Dr. Spector calls it on The Expert Vet, an armpit dog, you know, just like tucked in there, can go anywhere, do anything. So you have big dogs like I do, but do you sort of look at dog travel from the perspective of the two different sizes of dogs?
You know, I totally agree, because it is almost two different modes of travel, I think, traveling with a small dog and traveling with a large dog like ours. I wouldn't say it's restrictive, but I think you have to do more research ahead of time to make sure that the property you've chosen is not just dog friendly, but large dog friendly. You know, and everybody defines that differently, just what is a large dog, you know, so that can vary a lot from hotel to hotel.
Most of them do it by the weight, don't they? And don't they usually, I don't know if there's a usual, have a weight limit of, I want to pick a number that I've seen before that never applied to my dogs, 30 pounds? Does that sound about right?
Sometimes it's 30 pounds. Sometimes I've seen 50 pounds, sometimes 60. I think somewhere between 30 and 50 is the most common. I've seen some luxury properties even cut it off as low as 10 and 15 pounds. So they really mean really purse dogs, you know, the very tiny dogs that you would carry about. But you generally 30 to 50 pounds is the kind of the cutoff between small and large dogs.
Which sort of means that when you have that larger dog, that dog's not, you can't sneak them into the hotel. We used to try and do that at horse shows. People would try and sneak their large dogs into hotel rooms. There's just no sneaking a large dog into a hotel, even if you find the back entrance. Between the stairs and the elevator, you're going to be seen. So you can't really be a scofflaw and try to sneak. On the other hand, I think that these hotels saying, oh, small is good, we accept that. I think that they're having a sister who has two Brussels Griffins, one of which is completely unhousebroken, and I know so many toy dogs that are not properly housebroken. You're going to have a much cleaner room, I think, with a larger dog. I'm never going to get them to change their rules, but my dogs don't sleep on the bed, and my dogs are completely 110% housebroken. Most small dogs are all over the furniture in the room, all over the bed, and they often, whether they have wee-wee pads that they miss on or they simply housebreaking's never really worked out. I mean, is that something you think as well?
I agree because it really is, it depends on the individual. The individual dog may be a chewer or not a chewer. You know, they may be housebroken or not so dependable. You know, it really depends on that individual. And I understand why hotels have those rules. Perhaps maybe their guests are frightened of large dogs and they're not, you know, a lot of people feel that a small dog might be more friendly, which is not necessarily the case. It's once again, depends on that individual dog.
It does. You know, a lot of these armpit dogs will actually snap at people. I mean, I know someone, I leaned over to kiss her and her chihuahua went, arr! I mean, like snapped the air. And she was like giggling like that's normal or really. So you've got a dog you carry right near your face and your friend's or stranger's face. And when they push in to give you a kiss, hello, the dog has a chance of biting them. I mean, sure, because to the little dog, it's scary. A giant human face is propelling itself towards them, and they can't escape, right? They're in the armpit.
That's it. You know, and I think by being carried so much of their lives, they become very defensive of their owner. They're nervous. You know, that owner has maybe, that you know, they're being held tighter in some situations, and they're picking up on some anxiety there. So it's like, mm-hmm. Well, I better defend my owner here. She's a little nervous right now. You know,
that's
so they,
right.
they get nervous. And also, I think with the smaller dogs, people will accept behaviors that they would not accept in the larger dogs. And so you work harder on your training with the larger dogs because you think, okay, I just can't have this going on. Whereas the little dog, it's like, okay, I'll just pick you up. Let's get going here. You can't do that when you got a 70-pound dog. So you
work harder
with the training sometimes.
So our message to the great hotel chains, whether it's motels along the way or the fanciest Ritz-Carltons and W hotels, you should be more welcoming to our large dogs. They are going to cause less wear and tear on your hotel. They don't yap as much. Little dogs yap a lot. I'm sounding negative about little dogs, but these are just true facts. They bark, bark, bark. I mean, my sister's little dogs do it, and all the little dogs I've ever known, Yorkies, Chihuahuas, they got a big mouth on them. And like you say, with big dogs, we can't tolerate that kind of behavior because it leads to other behavior. So we teach them and train them young not to do it. So we need to have more hotels that accept the larger dogs. The number to call if you want some dog travel expert advice or you have anything you want to ask about your dogs, the truth is you could slip in a cat question too. Paris won't mind.
I love cats.
She loves cats. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And as the weeks go on, there are so many incredible angles to traveling with dogs. In some cases, going on a trip and leaving your dog behind, which are other issues for dog travel experts. And we want to encourage you to both feel free to go on trips without your dog and feel safe and comfortable about your dog being at home or with someone else, but also to learn all the marvelous and different ways that you can take them with you. We have a call from Idella, who's a wonderful, wonderful listener from my old Cat Chat show on SiriusXM. Idella Paris is a fabulous woman trucker. She just won a huge award from Women in Trucking. She drives an 18-wheeler purple truck on which she is having painted the logo for Radio Pet Lady Network. And she's in Louisville, Kentucky, doing something really cool. Idella, welcome to Dog Travel Experts. You are a dog travel expert. Welcome to the show, sweetie.
Well, thank you so very much, Tracy. And we sure appreciate you helping us out with our gifts for our dog games on Saturday and all the stuff that you've given that we're going to use inside the Expo Center tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday.
Well, it's so great that you're there, Idella. Explain to Paris and everyone listening what you're raising money for, this amazing group, Operation Roger, 100% volunteers, all the truck drivers that help move dogs, rescues, or dogs that the people have wound up in trouble, perhaps they've died, the rescues that depend on you truckers to jump in and do some of the long legs of transport, all out of your own pocket on your own dime. And Operation Roger helps organize you all. I don't know how they do it. It's like dispatching to the fourth paw. Talk a little about Operation Roger so people can understand how great it is. And if they're, of course, in the Louisville, Kentucky area, they got to go where you are and check out these raffles and auctions all to raise money for your great cause. Talk a little about Operation Roger.
Operation Roger started during Katrina when parents and their pets got separated because of the storms, and the parents couldn't go back and get their pets because they were already displaced and out of money. Yep. Operation Roger has put it together. We check in with a central website and a coordinator every day, and we raise money at these truck shows to support our website and our personnel that look our logistics, our trucking logistics. And we take the pets to their home. We reunite them with their families. We people adopt pets, and we pick them up at shelters. A lot of them we save from being euthanized, and we take them to the adoptees. We reunite military people with their pets when they have to move, because the military does not move their pets. And,
really?
And we stay busy.
Yeah, you do stay busy. And, of course, it's like having a dispatcher at a major trucking company. I mean, you have your own company with your gorgeous purple 18-wheeler, but a dispatcher is somebody who figures out trucks are in point A, what you need to move is in point B, and you got to get to point C. And all of that involves maps and coordinating, and you guys pay for your gas. You provide the person giving you the pet is supposed to provide the crate and the leash and the bowls, but in the end, I'm sure you provide a lot of it yourself. And you travel with your little dog Cola right in the van of your truck, right?
Yes, ma'am, we do. And we transport more than dogs. We transport cats, chinchillas, turtles, rabbits, and even I think we've transported some rats and a ferret or two. But when we take them into our truck with us, of course, sometimes we have to provide for them. They're supposed to give it to us, but sometimes things are tough. And we treat them just like they're our own until we get them to their forever
yes.
home.
Well, Idella, it's really amazing. And, you know, something that Paris might like to learn more about, and I think people listening would also, is this lifestyle on the road of truckers who often sleep an overnight number of days in a row in the cabs of their trucks, which have like a whole really nice living quarters. How many of you travel with dogs and cats, and what are some of the challenges that you have? What are some of the things that you wish a trucker had told you early on when you first started to travel with a dog, or when others travel with cats? What are some of the issues that people, if they are trucking and listening to the show, which if they aren't listening live, I know you're handing out a lot of our cards and they'll be able to listen to this in a podcast starting tonight or tomorrow. What are some of the things that would encourage truckers to take a dog or cat with them, or encourage them to overcome some of the challenges?
They're stress reducers. Believe it or not, pet snuggling up to your pet takes a lot of the stress away. It takes a lot of the loneliness away. And the challenges
yes.
we face is sometimes when we go into places, they won't allow dogs, just like the hotels, some of
mm-hmm.
our shippers and receivers. And they don't let us know ahead of time when we get up to the gate with a load. And they say, oh, no pets allowed. And they expect us to tie our dogs or our cats to a tree and leave them outside.
Wow.
And
wow.
And that can, oh, yeah, that can be scary. It's happened to me, and I had to go find a groomer and beg them to keep my little dog while I got the load off. You know, and then I had to come back and get them.
Well, do you know,
they were kind enough not to. I'm sorry.
Do you think things have been improving through the years? Have you seen it improving? I know we have some huge, huge truck stops here in Texas, and I noticed they have a lot more facilities. And I always wondered if those truck stops have facilities for the truckers with dogs and cats.
A lot of them are providing us special places to walk our pets.
Nice.
And some of them are providing us fenced-in areas to let our pets run. And, of course, we're expected to clean up after them, which that's understandable. We should clean
sure.
up after ourselves, too. And amazingly enough, some of the bigger truck stops are also providing us with dog washes.
Wow.
Which I find that quite impressive. But there's a whole lot more when you get there, you know, that there's nothing for them. And the biggest thing is we need a network of places where we can get our tractors in to take our pets to the vet, especially in emergency situations. And we're trying, and I'm sure Dog Tippers has that, but we're trying to link and network so that we have it on our website, you know, places that you can get in with a tractor and places you can call that will take a pet on an emergency basis.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you from one of the other shows on the Radio Pet Lady Network, I'm disremembering which one, but AAA on their website, according to one of the callers who called in, or maybe it was Paris. Oh, Paris knows everything. It was probably Paris who told me. They have a listing. Is this right, Paris, on the AAA website of emergency vets?
Well, there are some apps you can download, so you could check it while you're driving. You know, from your truck.
Right.
PetMD has got an app you can download, and it has veterinarians around the country and emergency veterinarians also. Special section on emergency vets.
That's really good, Idella. So PetMD, the app for that. That's very cool.
So just go to PetMD.com, and they've got those free apps you can download.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for the information. I will tell that to Sue and see if we can't get that tapped into our website, because a lot of our drivers, you know, sometimes we get a pet and it's not our, you know, it's not our pet and we're transporting and something happens, you know. And the last problem we had was is when we called the local vet, all they would say to us is take it to your vet at home. Well, Jesus, home might be 500 miles away.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Yeah, that's not very helpful. It'd be so cool, although it's so hard to make these compilations of things, to figure out the very best truck stops for dogs. I'm sure the kitties, if they are harness trained, they can just take a little walk anywhere, because I know that, you know, the folks that travel with kitties have litter boxes for them in the cab, and if they're cats that are brave and can walk on a harness, then they don't really need an enclosure. But it would be great if there was a way to get the word out to truckers, all these wonderful truck stops, because actually, Paris, come to think of it, you don't need to have a purple 18-wheeler to use a truck stop rest stop for dogs.
That's
you can
right.
be a regular person in a car, and you know, oh my God, what? Such and such a truck. Everyone knows to stop to eat where the truckers eat, because you guys will not eat crummy food. You demand quality food. You're exhausted. You need good food. If you could pick these truck stops that make these fenced-in areas are really dog-friendly, it would be really cool if people just started showing up in their Camrys, you know, little tiny, tiny car next to these giant trucks, and everyone coming out with their dogs and taking advantage of the hospitality.
That's right, and they're so convenient because they're right on the highway there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would more than welcome it. I sure do. A little piece of information about cats that are harness trained, like Irish, they can be Houdinis, I promise you. You have to, if you put them out on a harness, you need to keep a pretty close eye on them, because they can get out of anything. Irish is a Houdini, I promise you.
Yeah, your kitty can do a lot of tricks. Well, I know that one of the things that I sent you was some Necco Flies toys to raffle off or auction off to raise money for Operation Roger. And Ellen, who created Necco Flies, these really great wand toy interactive play for kitties, was really happy to contribute, because I know you definitely move kitties for people that need them to be moved.
Yeah.
So it's really great. I know you have a dog Bible and a cat Bible. And if you do this again next year, between Paris and me and the other hosts on the network, we could get you tons more stuff, because we really want to support what you're doing. We love it.
That would be so fun, because, you know, we have written about y'all in Dog Tipper. I know we've had people ask questions about transport, and they're tight on money. And so I think that's such a great operation that y'all have.
In fact, Idella,
I know you're
in the middle of a parking lot, so to speak, in Louisville, Kentucky, but if any of you has a way to use your computer and you write to Paris at dogtipper.com, she'll get the word out about, you know, what's going on this weekend, because a lot of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area would love to show up.
Yes, definitely. Okay. We have a whole page of events. That would be great.
Super. Idella, keep up the good work.
Okay, I will definitely do that. I've got to pick up a film guy here at the airport in just a little while to do a documentary. As soon as I get done with that, I'll sit down and shoot Miss Paris some information.
Look at this, Idella, and she's driving her purple 18-wheeler not to pick up the guy doing the documentary, but they are making a documentary about this. So she's going to be a star soon, and we can say we knew her when.
That is so fun.
You take care, Idella. Keep up the good work. Drive safe.
Thank you so much.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
She's a pip, I'll tell you. And she's gonna be driving all across the country with the Radio Pet Lady logo on her truck. And she's just darling. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, you have so many great questions from your readers. We might not even be able to get to all of them, but we're going to give it a try. Those of you that are out there that might like to ask a question or comment on anything, 888-627-6008. We're here for you. We'll be right back. This show is supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional foundation formula for all dogs, which addresses canine health at the cellular level, providing a special blend of more than 55 nutrients that improves the fundamental health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. That's the Platinum difference. Platinum Performance Canine Wellness is a supplement scientifically proven to improve the cognitive ability of dogs in a study designed to measure their learning ability. When the dogs were tested on how well they remembered the skills learned in the first phase, dogs on Platinum Performance demonstrated superior memory by completing the task more quickly than the control group. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's Platinum Feline Formula for the kitties, too. Support for the show comes from Waruva, a family-owned company that makes canned food for cats and little dogs from ingredients we could eat ourselves. Because they think dogs and cats should eat as well as we do, so their foods are made in a human food facility. We salute Waruva's ethical decision to make no dry food because they know that for optimal wellness, small dogs don't need highly processed carbohydrates, and that true health for cats, who are obligate carnivores, means they should eat only meat and have no need for carbohydrates in their diet. In addition to all the delicious Waruva recipes, they also make Cats in the Kitchen in pouches and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, using smaller-bodied fish for your cat's health. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites. Vectra 3D has the newest technology. In scientific tests, Vectra 3D was shown to create a shield on your dog's skin to repel ticks and kill them fast and reliably for the entire month, unlike older products which don't last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, a bite which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases even without the parasites staying attached. With Vectra 3D, ticks are killed just by coming into contact with your dog, but it's still safe for the people in your family. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that repels and kills fleas and also kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. So, Paris, the dog travel expert, here's a question from Daria that came into DogTipper.com. Those of you that are fans of DogTipper.com, this is Paris of Paris and John, the great creators and the masterminds behind it. And they're working on a book called Dog Travel. It's not called Dog Travel Experts, or is it?
It's called Texas with Dogs.
DogTipper.com, Texas with Dogs.
That's right. It's the first in a series of state guides about dog travel.
Oh, my. You have your work cut out for you, lady.
We sure do.
Texas is so large, it's going to take you half your life just to get across Texas. Okay, here's a question from Daria or Daria. When should you feed your dog while on a trip? Before you start driving, take a pit stop to feed it? I'm not sure when because I don't want my dog to become sick. Good question. What do you say to that?
That is a very good question. With our dogs, fortunately, our dogs have not thus far gotten car sick. We've been very lucky. They're both 5 years old and have never been car sick. But we're always extra careful. We feed them a very light meal before a trip, and we do it several hours before we get in the car. We don't wait till the last minute. Like I said, it is a lighter meal. So we have food and water a couple of hours before the trip. Then once on the trip, we'll stop at least every 2 hours, let them have a break, stretch their legs, go to the bathroom, offer them some water. We have toys on the ride, but we don't give them chews because that's basically the same, as ingesting their food. So, we don't give them food on the trip. We might give them a light snack if it's a full day trip, of course. We give them a snack along the way. But, you just want to be careful not to be, giving out food and chews because that's the same as eating on your trip. And, with some dogs, you do have to worry about car sickness.
But then there's the question, if a dog were prone to being car sick, and you obviously need to find that out before you go on a long trip.
That's right.
A dog who's going to be car sick gets car sick even going around the block. And we talked last week or the week before about ways to slowly get a dog over being car sick because they can be if you will, cured of it. But is a totally empty stomach, in your opinion, a way to get, carsick by having an empty stomach, zero in it?
No, I think you want a light meal so you have something in your stomach. Some people recommend like a ginger snap cookie, just like we would eat ginger.
Really?
Yes,
oh
I've heard
God,
some people say
funny.
That will really help. And some people swear by jelly beans, that just to give them one jelly bean, that a sugary little snack like that, never a chocolate, of course, but one little jelly bean, that a sugary snack will help. Now, we've not tried this with our dogs, so I'd love to hear from our listeners who might have tried that or some other methods to help their dogs with car sickness.
Well, I am going to ask the question of Dr. Sean Delaney tomorrow on Pet Food Advisors, who knows so much about animal nutrition. Whether we know that ginger is supposed to be an anti-nausea component of like for pregnancy and other things, but I wonder how much ginger is really in a ginger snap, quite honestly, probably very little and probably not even real ginger.
That would be
and
my
then,
guess too.
And whether sugar, a jelly bean is of course just a strange choice of how to get one little piece of sugar in them. But I wonder if sugar really does have that effect. Sounds fishy to me. Sounds like the person wants to eat a lot of jelly beans, and this is their excuse for pulling out the jelly beans. But the truth is, I could be completely mean, and it could be great. I'm going to ask him, and I'm going to ask Donna Spector, the expert vet, on Monday. So by next Wednesday, I will be able to tell you if a ginger snap or a jelly bean would be a deterrent to getting car sick. It'll be funny to find out. They'll probably think that's a pretty
I think that'd be great
question.
To find out. Yeah. I would love to hear their answer because I love holistic ways to, to get over these things. And two, I think, by giving your dog a little treat, maybe your attitude has changed. You're feeling like, okay, you're going to be good on this car where there's nothing to worry about. And, of course, our dogs are so tuned into our own attitude and emotions. Maybe they're feeling like, okay, I'm safe. We're good to go here, So there could be, I think, some psychological components to it, too, with car sickness.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that's why we when I had the discussion about opening the window a little, and I've had dogs that were really anxious, but with the window open a little, they weren't anxious. They became kind of pacing and panting if they couldn't put their nose out a bit. But we already had that discussion, so we don't have to revisit it. But it really does go to the issue of anxiety. Of course, if dog was really anxious, an Adaptil collar, an Adaptil spray in the back of the car. Adaptil being one of our sponsors, but also really being a great solution to any kind of anxiety is a nice little trick to add. Okay, if anyone's out there that has a question and isn't just listening and thinking, jelly beans? Really? How about licorice ones? 888-627-6008. We have a good question for Brittany. I enjoy taking my dog Toby on trips to the nearest big city about an hour away so we can go to pet stores and pet parks that are not available in our area. I also like to bring him along because I do not like the fact that I would have to leave him at home for 10 plus hours otherwise. However, I do enjoy eating out in a restaurant, not a whole lot of options in a small town while I'm in a big city as well. It would obviously not be wise to leave my dog in the car for an hour, so how can I manage to bring my canine companion along if I need to make a stop at a place that isn't dog-friendly? Well, I have a couple of, practical answers, but you've heard that, or you probably even have written back to her. From now on, by the way, may I just suggest that when people write you these really cool questions, instead of writing them back a written answer, how about saying, Tracy and I would love to talk to you on the air or answer your question on the air. That way, people can give us these questions and we will answer them live on the air instead of written. Don't you think that'd be good?
That is a great idea, I think. That's a super idea.
Because then more people benefit and more people may not even have thought of this. Maybe there's people that would like to do what she does with Toby, but they haven't done it because they think there's too many obstacles to it.
That, that very well could be. A lot of people think there would be a problem taking your dog to a different town. But, I think this is a great opportunity for Toby to make some friends in the big city, too. Maybe, Toby might enjoy having a little doggy daycare. Maybe while she goes to the restaurant, does some shopping, catches a movie. Toby could be checking out the big city doggy daycare. And that would be a lot of fun for him, a great way for him to socialize.
Yes.
And on the way home, I bet he would be exhausted. He would have played, during the few hours he was at doggy daycare and would be having a nice little nap on the way home.
That's a really cool idea because then you have no guilt. You're not anxious and worried, even a restaurant that is dog friendly, meaning one that has outdoor seating, because I think in all of America, it's illegal to have a dog indoors in a restaurant. Whereas in France, you'll always see dogs, or not always, often see dogs in a big city in a restaurant, small dogs usually. But in America, they can sit outside if it's a sidewalk kind of cafe. But of course, that doesn't work in the winter in the Northeast or in Texas in the summer.
That's
so
right.
You have the guilt of either not being able to take them at all on the trip, or you can't leave them in the car because of extremes of weather. Or even if you take them to these sort of patio situations, most dogs, unless they do it all the time since they were babies, they're a little trouble. I mean, they don't just go under the table and sleep like the dogs in France do because they've been doing it their whole life. They kind of notice things and pull on the leash and they get up and they pace and maybe they bother someone at the next table. It's really not enjoyable for anybody. So I think your idea of a doggy daycare is fantastic because, I mean, I don't think there's a city around anymore that doesn't have doggy daycare, right? So you just go online ahead of time. And probably, does your website have great info about that? Or where do people look up doggy daycares and see pictures of them and figure out the one they might like the best?
Right. Well, you know, the app we were just talking about, the PetMD app, that has a section on doggy daycares. You know, and
wow.
There are so many, yes, and so many good resources online, like gopetfriendly.com, bringfido.com, all these resources that have a lot of activities, dog-friendly restaurants, dog-friendly hotels, things like that, you know, where you could be welcomed if you decide to, you know, to bring your dog out on the patio for dining. But let's face it, sometimes maybe you might want to have lunch with a friend. You want to go have a really nice indoor, you know, sit and talk for a few hours.
Yes.
And I think doggy daycare is the perfect solution.
And it is really fun for dogs. I mean, it's the big city outing for them. I mean, how often do dogs that live in the smaller towns, like you live in the hills and I live on a hill in the middle of Vermont. I mean, my dogs rarely get to see another dog. If they were on a car trip, which they love, and then when they got out, they were at doggy daycare, it would be like heaven with a cherry on top, right?
That's right. And, you know, and that's one thing you can't really replicate at home. You can do all the
training
at home. You can't replicate other dogs and hold socialization situations. So you'll have that with doggy daycare.
Yep. And safe. And, you know, if you pick a place that's decent, it'll be clean and there'll be attendants there that know what they're doing and they keep the big dogs and the little dogs separate. So they're not, you know, at each other's throat and the wrong size. So a good doggy daycare is really a treat. And some of them have, well, I guess it's irrelevant if you're away from home, but they have a webcam, right, where you can watch your dog while they're in the doggy daycare.
That's right. Some of them you can get to it on your telephone. You know, they'll have an app so you can
check
in with them. If you know, if you're a little nervous about how they're doing, you can check in online on your phone.
The world we live in, it's amazing. Here's the number to call us if you have questions or comments about any of these very unusual topics. I mean, unusual to me because my dogs and I are kind of housebound, but it is a big, big world out there. And Paris, the dog travel expert, is here to tell you all the ways you can enjoy it with your pooch. 888-627-6008. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we have Carrie waiting for us, and we'll be right back. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes raw dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. From food ingredients that are gently dehydrated to remove only the moisture, yet retain most of the natural nutrients. Everyone knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious, and Lucy at The Honest Kitchen developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health problems like itchy skin, ear infections, and GI upset, which are often linked to a poor quality or inappropriate diet. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com for information about calling The Honest Kitchen for a complimentary consultation to find out which recipe is right for your pet and get free samples. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a signal of comfort in your pet's brain. And veterinary nutritionists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil to help patients with behavior issues as a stress reliever that can help solve many common behavior challenges or even emotional discomfort you may not recognize. Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs can also be comforting for newly adopted cats and dogs from stressful backgrounds, and especially for new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feel Away diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household for out-of-litter box issues and to get a cat used to her carrier for travel or vet visits. Adaptil for dogs helps alleviate anxiety and stress-related symptoms whether your dog is at home, in a car, or out in the world. Adaptil comes in a diffuser, spray, and the most effective way, a collar. Veterinary animal behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil to help patients with behavior issues. You can find the pheromone products through the link at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. VaxaCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxaCheck takes the worry out of keeping your dog safe. Avoid the risks of automatically revaccinating by asking for VaxaCheck, a blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis. If she has the antibodies in her blood, you don't need to revaccinate. But if she doesn't have protective immunity to one of the diseases, then you revaccinate only against that one illness. VaxaCheck should be used on every puppy to confirm that she actually got the protective antibodies from her puppy shots, which are not guaranteed to be 100% effective. Shelters and rescues should use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind, ask for a VaxaCheck test at your dog's yearly checkup so you and your vet make the best decision about long-term health. VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. Well, we are back, Paris, the dog travel expert, and myself, Tracy Hotchner. Our number is 888-627-6008. If you want to give us a jingle, talk about anything, ask a question, or just say hi, like Carrie is going to do. Hey, Carrie, welcome to Dog Travel Experts.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Excellent. How are you? It's great to meet you from All Things Dog Blog. That is such a cool name. How did you grab that one?
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of rolled off my tongue, I guess. It's it just came up naturally, and that was it. The next thing I knew, I had it.
And you really do cover all things dog, all kinds of topics about dogs and problem solving with dogs, don't you?
I try. I sure try. But I have a question for you about water dangers. I live in Central Florida, where we have lakes all around us, and we have access to a website in each county in Florida to tell us which lakes are polluted and are not a safe place for our dogs to swim. But when I travel, I don't know how to get that information. Is there a resource for that, or, you know, am I at the mercy of maybe park rangers? Park rangers could be a good resource to help me when I'm in a state park or a national park, but I'm not sure about other areas as I travel.
Well, I'm sure Paris has some specific about that, but I just want to comment in a kind of global sense. Wow. That's how polluted your lakes are, that they're unsafe for dogs to go into. I don't think that that's a big problem state by state. I've never even heard of that. People must be doing naughty, nasty stuff in Florida to have ruined your beautiful lakes like that. Also, in terms of national and state parks, I have something in the Dog Bible, but I'm sure Paris has it on her website and in some of her books. It's either national parks or state parks. No dogs are allowed anyway. Which is it, Paris? One of them, no dogs can come in.
It's national parks. They are restricted. They're allowed in, but they are generally restricted to any place your car could go, like the parking lot, basically, the roadsides. You know, some of the national parks will allow access on certain trails, but it is a lot more restricted than people think. Now, the national forests are a different story. National seashores are different, but the actual national parks, the biggies, they are pretty much restricted to where your car can go.
And so, therefore, the water's probably really clean, Carrie, but your dog will never have a chance to find out.
They may not get to get into that water, so because you might have to get down the trail to get to that water. But that is a great question. You know, I know here in Texas we have the same problem. If there's been a heavy rain, I know sometimes, like downstream of areas, if there's a golf course upstream, course is fertilized with effluent, then I know they'll close swimming downstream. You know, so that can be an issue. So that is a really great question about how to find that information out. Because, you know, if you're local, you hear these things and you know, okay, we don't swim in this area after the rain. But if you're just coming in, you don't know those things, you know. So that is a good question.
Right.
The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, on their website, they are epa.gov. They have an app, and of course, this is kind of the day. There's an app for that, and there is an app for that. They have an app that you can download from epa.gov, or you can use it on the website too if you're online and not on your phone. And you can check, you know, the safety of beaches and check
Seriously?
The safety of rivers and streams. Yeah, because that is so important because you know we don't want our dogs because. I mean, like you think about it, we would be swimming. Okay, that's bad. But we're not probably going to drink that water while we're swimming.
Right.
But our dogs will, you know.
Yeah.
So
they do.
You know.
Wow, that's a big challenge. Carrie, what are the lakes in Florida polluted by? Do you know?
Well, Tracy, I may have given the wrong impression, but there are select lakes that are polluted to the point where it would not be safe for our dogs or us to swim. And because I live here, I'm aware of those.
Yes.
But you're asking what was polluted, what causes the pollution?
Yes.
One of the things is, unfortunately, a lack of education of homeowners about fertilizing if they live on the lakefront how to do it. And, you know, having a swale and a berm at your waterfront to keep runoff from going into the lake, important, but not all homeowners do it. And so there's all kinds of things, but there are, of course, runoff from the roads. The drainage in Florida is funneled right to the lakes.
Because
if we didn't, unfortunately, if we didn't do that, Florida would flood because we're all at sea level.
That's right.
So, we have to have a lot of drainage areas, and the lakes provide that for us. So so there's a lot of reasons that pollution has occurred. Industry is another one. But
it's mostly human-created. People have done it with just careless, ignorant, or thoughtless behavior that they were never told could cause a problem down the road, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of times it's just they don't know.
Yeah.
So,
And then when a big rain comes, it can really change things up. I know when you have, you know, we have flash flooding here. So that will really wash off things that maybe people thought, oh, this isn't going to wash off. You know, it's not going to go that far. And then you have a huge rain and it really can. Carrie, I have a question for you as a Florida dog mom. You know, when people come in from out of state, you know, I think maybe they're not aware about the alligators. And I know every time I hear about Florida, I think about the alligators and things. You know, what do you tell people that, you know, maybe they're from out of state and they're coming in your area about walking their dogs near water? Because that is a real danger, especially for little dogs, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that's something that I write about just about every summer. To try to, you know, let people in the southeastern United States know what the safety issues are. Dogs, because they bark at alligators get annoyed by that. And every year, I would say dozens of dogs are taken from waterways in Florida.
Wow.
And it's almost always a gator. A large gator will get irritated, and they, you know, they can swim under the water and come up where that barking dog is, and he's gone.
So you don't have a clue he's out there.
No. In fact, Carrie, that's so spooky because I used to, when I horse showed, the winter shows were in Wellington, West Palm Beach, and there were lots of these canals, and a lot of people would rent houses.
Right.
You know, homeowners would rent out the houses to the horse showers, and there were all these canals, and if you're not familiar with Florida, it's kind of charming and delightful and like, wow, I'm in Venice, you know, Italy. But there were alligators, and then we would hear these stories. Loads of people on the horse show circuit bring dogs with them, and many of them spend the whole winter down there. So a lot of corgis, a lot of Jack Russells, a lot of snack-sized dogs for an alligator.
Yes.
And as you say, they're brilliant creatures. You don't see but maybe their eyeballs, and then just like watching the Nature Channel, it's like chomp, bye-bye corgi. It's horrible.
And that's it.
Wow.
Yeah,
now,
it,
Carrie,
is, it is scary.
What's your rule of thumb as to how close to allow your dog to go to the water?
Well, you know, part of it is knowing the risk at each place.
We like having dogs on the show, by the way.
Oliver's
we
got some ideas.
That. Yeah, we welcome that.
Yeah. Each lake has its own risk level. So, like, I live on a lake, and it happens to be a very heavily populated lake where there are a lot of power boats. And because of the power boats, the gators don't like this lake. They don't like the noise and, you know, the activity level of the lake.
Sure.
So they avoid my lake, which makes it a great place for Tanner to swim. And yet, even knowing that, I don't let him swim during mating and nesting season, because that's when they are much more active and they're out looking for extra food. And, you know, yeah. I don't want to have to go there.
Thank so you. Yeah.
He only swims during the cooler weather. Summer's definitely not the time.
Wow. And if people are not readers of if they're not readers yet of allthingsdogblog.com, Tanner is, what is he, about 70-pound dog? He's a golden.
Yeah.
He's a large dog.
He's a 70-pound golden retriever, and he's a very good fetcher. So when we go out on the boat, he loves to jump off the back of the boat and go swim after a toy and bring it back. And he's real good at it. But boy, if there was a gator out there, that would change the game entirely. So we always go out to the middle of the lake. We live on a fairly large lake, so out in the middle, the gators really don't. They don't hang out in the middle of the lake. They hang out along the shoreline in the reeds. And so we go out into the middle of the lake in order to let him swim and play. And that's, of course, you know, just during the cool weather. So we're approaching now the time of year when he won't get to go out much on the lake. He'll have to stick to the swimming pool. Which is fine with him.
It's not a bad life Mr. Tanner has. I'd like to say, Carrie, that Paris and I would be so honored if All Things Dog Blog could become a special friend of the dog travel experts on the website, and we would link to you and have a link back to our show from your website. Clearly, you know a lot of things and have a lot of interests that would be really valuable to our listeners and to our readers. So I'm going to ask you about hooking up by email, because you really are a wealth of fascinating information, things I never even knew existed as issues. And who doesn't love a beautiful golden retriever? So we can have a picture of him as well. It's either you or him. It's your choice. Thanks for the call, Carrie. We're really thrilled to hear from you, and it's really a pleasure to meet you, and very exciting to hook up with you, because I'm sure there's lots of other topics that you have a lot to add to the conversation, right, Paris?
That is another world, isn't it? With
yes.
alligators and crocodiles, and you know, a different, really different world that if you're coming in, you just might not be aware of that. So
that's
great to know.
Or a dog paradise where you can go on a boat, jump off, you know, swim, bring things back. I mean, that's paradise. So it's sweet.
Oh, yeah. Tanner thinks so. That's for sure.
Thanks a lot, Carrie. Really, really glad to meet you. We will hear from you again, I hope. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for
taking
my call.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's our pleasure. When we get back, we can take your call too, 888-627-6008. We will be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals in any of their products. Halo is a private company partially owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they genuinely are dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. The company emphasizes giving back by making impressive charitable donations through freekibble.com to shelters and rescues, because they believe that less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is the only kibble I feed my own dogs, because Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No scary mystery ingredients that are permitted in rendered meal. There are even shreds of real vegetables along with the dry nuggets. It's why I'd love you to try Halo too. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. In fact, Nordic's prenatal DHA and baby's DHA products are endorsed by the American Pregnancy Association, which is a welcome endorsement for those who will want to add omega-3 fish oil to their pet's bowl since they view their cats and dogs as their fur kids. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family. For more information, visit RadioPetLady.com. This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio shows in the world. If you're enjoying our show, please go to RadioPetLady.com to see all the other live call-in shows I co-host. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog from around the block to around the world with Paris from Dog Tipper. Also on Wednesday is Four-Legged Life with Arden Moore, who advocates great ways to enjoy life with your dogs and cats while keeping them safe. Thursday is Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a famous veterinary nutritionist with advice about what to feed your pets. And then it's A Dog's Life, discussing dog behavior with trainer Greg Kleva. Mondays, there's The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna, giving second opinions on hard-to-treat medical problems, and Cat Crazy with Amy Shojai, who is a certified animal behaviorist who is crazy about cats. If you cannot listen to any show live, just send your questions to RadioPetLady@gmail.com and we'll answer them on the air. You can listen later to the after-show podcast in the library at RadioPetLady.com. We are back, and Paris, to finish off our hour that has flown by, we have a question from Skyler. What supplies do I need to take my dog to baseball games? And I've heard about the National League games that allow people to bring dogs at a certain time. We've just got a few minutes, but is there anything special they should bring? I guess a dog water bowl, right?
Well, of course, a dog water bowl, a fixed leash. They don't want to be on a retractable.
Right.
Is in any kind of crowded situation, but especially at the games. And also, they need to check in with the park before they go. Some of the parks require your vet to fax over your dog's immunization records. So some of them will let you just hand it in as you go. Some of them, it all has to be done in advance. So really, like any kind of travel, you want to start planning in advance. Don't wait till the day of, to gather all that information.
So do most people think they can just drive up and get out of their car and just show up at the gate and buy a ticket? I mean, I would think that. I wouldn't know they would need paperwork.
Right, because baseball games are so casual. You buy your ticket, the day of the game. You just pop by there, that some people think, well, we can do the same with the dogs. But in general, at most of those league events, just a portion of the seating is set aside for people with dogs. And they do need to see proof of immunization. So you want to have
smart.
That.
I guess that's smart. You can't have some dog coming in that might be full of disease. I mean, that's one of our advertisers, VaxiCheck. It's all about making sure your animal really is safe to be around others, and you would like to think the other dogs are safe as well. Now, I hate to ask you this, Paris. Is there an app for knowing which ball teams, which ball parks allow dogs and when?
I bet there probably is somewhere, but not one that I know of. If one of our listeners knows, I hope they let us know for next week. But for
that
right
would be great.
Wouldn't that be fun? Mm-hmm. For right now, you can go to dogtravelexperts.com, which is Dog Tipper's other site, and we have a page there of events coming up. And I know just right now I'm looking at it, there's three National League events coming up in April. People can go to a baseball game with their dog.
In April?
In April.
That's how soon the baseball season begins? I'm a dope. I never can – as far as I know, it's still ice hockey. So baseball is here?
It's already here.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, it's not all the games. It's always just special games. And they, they will let you know which games you can do this. And some of the minor leagues do this as well. Not just the professionals, but some of the minor leagues do it and have, again, a special time. And a lot of times it benefits a local rescue or shelter. So it's a really fun event for dog families to attend.
Nice. Have you ever done it? No, because Texas is too hot. It's too hot.
It is so hot. And, you know, some of them will do it. We don't have a professional team, you know, major league team close to us in driving distance to us. And one of the minor leagues did it last year, but it was already too hot for us to take our dogs at that time.
Well, if anybody does it, we want you to write to us at radiopetlady@gmail.com and let us know if you're going to a ball game, if you do go to a ball game. And send us a photo. We'd like to see your dog at a ball game wearing, I guess, a doggy baseball cap. I'm not sure what exactly they do for dogs at the ball game, so I'm sure they give you lots of really cool swag. Paris, another wonderful show. So much fun. Can't wait to learn more next week. So glad I don't live near alligators. Hug your pooches for me, and we'll talk again next week.
Bye-bye.